order. Call to order. Executive Committee meeting, June 9th, 4 o'clock.
Don't take it from me.
Council Conference Room, 8th floor, City County Building, Wilmington, Delaware, 8th and French. Present are council members Kilpatrick, Weiner, Street, Smiley, Diller, and Retta. President Bullock taking notes. My aide, Anthony DeFerry. Approval minutes from the May 26, 2015 meeting.
Motion approved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Ayes have it. The minutes are approved. Smiley?
Mr. President, I apologize to members of council. I have something I will need to run out for, so I don't want to disrupt in the middle of the meeting. So I'll just put it on the record now. 15-057, I will be moving the table this evening. And as for resolution 15-104 and 15-107, I have a long-established procedure with this council that I go not voting. I do not vote on recommendations to other bodies of government, but I will tell you I've already spoken as an individual member of council and a resident of the state of Delaware with individuals in Dover involved in these two pieces of legislation.
Thank you, Councilman.
Thank you.
We'll see you later. Joining us are Councilmember Sheldon and Tackett. Agenda item number 3. Also, Councilmember Cartier is joining us as well. R15-104, supporting the expansion of the Port of Wilmington to include a facility on the Delaware River. Mr. Street.
Yes, Mr. President. Shared a story with you. In the 80s, when I had some black hair, my office as executive director was in the room for wash and dryer. I hear a kid of 17 years old outside the office saying, Street think everybody's supposed to go to college. College ain't for everybody. So I opened the door, I said, you starting with manhood pretty quickly. Gonna be a man. Tell me what you got to say to my face. He said, well, I'm telling you to your face. I don't want to go to college. You're not gonna make me go to college. My mom not gonna make me go to college. I said, well, son, what are you gonna do? He said, I'm going to serve. I said, I ain't mad at you. But 30-something years later, that conversation hadn't gone away from me. Because he was absolutely correct. I was bent and determined that all my kids come through that center and go to college. He made it crystal clear, drove his point home. College wasn't for everybody. I'm proud to bring this forward today because I came out of Wilmington High in 1970. My schoolmates who didn't want to go to college could go to General Motors, could go to Chrysler. They had opportunities to go to DuPont, become technicians, machinists. Well, Newsweek, in my opinion, issued a challenge to the DuPont company when they labeled the city of Wilmington, Murraytown, USA, said you as a company need to do something about this. It appears on the surface that they chose to leave town. My point being, in an instant matter, city's infrastructure has been destroyed. You don't have a school system, you've lost hospitals, there's no media in the city, and the primary infrastructure in the city that's remained is the Port of Wilmington. As part of the Sills administration, then Mayor Sills, and then President Jim Baker said, we're going to sell the port to the city, to the state. I said, y'all are going to do what? Well, I was just the parks director. One was the mayor. One was the president of council. I was obviously overruled. But it's the only part of the infrastructure, it's the primary part of the infrastructure that's left. And I have said publicly, repeatedly, in my view, as the port goes, that's how the city's going to go. And as the city goes, so will the county and the state. So I support this. I was pleased and proud to bring forward the resolution supporting dredging. And, you know, that was in preparation for the proposed expansion of the port. I'm surprised that it's become somewhat contentious. I believe in my heart that the importance of knowing that everybody doesn't want to go to college, everybody's not going to go to college, and this is about the only game in town left. You don't expand this. And worse, if you don't do anything progressive and you allow other jurisdictions to be more progressive, then you don't have the ability to compete, and then things can only get progressively worse. So I'm pleased and proud to bring this forward. There are representatives from Longshoremen Association here who may want to comment. I don't know if you want to ask them to come forward now or if you want to wait and let council members have their comments, but I would, before we close on this, like for them to have an opportunity to make a presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Street. We'll have comments from or questions from the council first, and then our guests can make comments as well. Council, do you have any comments or questions? Councilmember Kilpatrick. Joining us, I'm sorry, is Councilmember Hollins. I'm sorry.
Pardon?
Councilmember Hollins has joined us as well.
Oh, thank you. Okay. I do have some questions on this, and I agree with everything you're saying. Not everybody needs to go to college, that we need to have blue-collar jobs. We've lost tons of blue-collar jobs. I'm very disappointed in this state that they have not figured out how to bring some jobs, any jobs, back into this state. As this resolution goes, I am not going to be able to support this. I believe that we have a port and that that port needs to be renovated and enhanced. When we look at what they want to take this money out of the existing port budget and move it over to another piece of land, that piece of land is not in unincorporated Newcastle County and it is not in the city of Wilmington. It is in the city of Newcastle, which means that ultimately we in the unincorporated area get nothing and the city of Wilmington gets nothing. If we could make it through Coastal Zone Act exemption, if we could make it through the state DENREC giving permission, if we could make it through the federal government saying, yes, I will give you all of the permits that you need, and if it gets built with private funding or any combination of funding, and then we move the longshoremen from the existing port to this port, we have now just taken all those city wage taxes out of the city of Wilmington. So I don't see that it's helping the city of Wilmington do anything. I have a lot of questions about whether we would be able to get a new port and the amount of time that it's going to take to get this port. And I would rather see all of the effort go into the expansion of the port that we have so that we are viable when the dredging is completed, when the bigger ships come in. Autoport Lane, I understand, comes out onto the river. It should take care of the concern that we have about being on the river. I think this is just a waste of money to move it over. If there are private people that want to create this port, then I think they need to come up with the money. And beyond that, I just don't see the value in moving state money from an existing facility to something that is what, in my mind at this point, I'm going to call a pipe dream. And in the articles that I've read and the things that I've heard, we're talking about being able to move things from the General Motors plant to the new port. If somebody has something to go in the General Motors plant that is going to have something that can be exported, we have a port. Get that business in there now and give those people that are working the port more jobs down there. So I'm sorry, but I'm just not going to be able to support this today.
Thank you, Council Member Kilpatrick. Joining us, Council Member Powers is doing the table. Council, any other questions or comments? Council Member Cartier.
Thank you. there's no question that, Delaware and specifically Newcastle County along the river enjoys, a competitive advantage in terms of expansion of port facilities. I watch every day from where I live container vessels go into the Port of Philadelphia. And there's no reason why we can't capture part of that, that, you know, shipping. And with the right location, the right facility, we can expand jobs and not necessarily compete with the existing business at the Port of Wilmington. I think, in principle, I support the idea of port expansion. And I would just add that, you know, if you have plan A, I have plan B. Because there is a every possibility of doing a container port at the old steel mill site in Claymont. So I think we should be advocating for port expansion and capturing more of that shipping traffic and create more jobs in Delaware for people who are not college bound. And so it's a you know, an idea that's worth pursuing. I don't know if this site is exactly the right site, but certainly I want to join with the idea of trying to help expand the port facilities along the Delaware River to get our part of that business, since we are in a really competitive position with the ports further north.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Moretta.
Thank you. I'm supporting this because I've been in a lot of meetings about this port, not only the existing port, but the one that they're talking about a new one. And what it is, the existing port, we're talking about, you know, cleaning it up, basically. Putting some money into it, cleaning it up. And ILA's here, and they can tell you about their cranes that they've been kind of putting Band-Aids on all the time. And with that, the existing port and some land that's looking at, plus the land that we're talking about is about 400 acres here, you can make it all one port. And the logistics far as Wilmington and Newcastle, how they want to handle it, but if I remember right, in the meeting I went to, Newcastle was there, and Newcastle was well received on this because they're going to make some money on it, and the city of Wilmington is going to make their money on it with the jobs and things of that nature. Yes, I agree with you. There is some private money that's going to have to be put up, and I believe the person who owns the land at Newcastle is already talking to some people about some money, and I believe the administration was talking to them, and so was ILA. So we have to get started someplace, and we have to, I believe, kick the state in the butt to get moving on this so we can have work, have jobs. And if this thing goes through all the way through from Wilmington to Newcastle, that area out there, you probably won't be able to buy a house out there because it'll be all gone. That whole place will be renovated. There'll be jobs coming in. There'll be stores out there, different things. And you got different supports. With the port, you can have thousands of jobs of different support people in Backland, plus the ones that will be working. And they're good-paying jobs. And people can live off the money. They can't live off $10, $15 an hour with one person working. At least out here with the port and try and get something done, you might have a person be able to buy a home. Not only buy a home, they can buy a car, TVs, and stuff like that. But we got to get moving on it, and somebody's got to be the leader. Whether it's us or the state or whoever. But somebody has to lead this thing to get it moving. And the meetings I've been at, listen to the longshoremen and listen to the things that are going on. You know, that's why I'm supporting Jay on this, because basically it's his area out there, and I think this is a good thing.
Councilmember Powers and Smiley.
I have to say, and I would support any of them, the one in John's and the one Joe just said, with the Panama Canal and the ships and getting not all the way up the Delaware, because they won't be able to get under the bridges.
Right.
You wonder how that'll fall to ag. Right now, they set up a container loading. Most of the containers that'll be shipped out go in Chicago, and then they go out. Ag has set up a container loading for corn. We've got a problem getting corn down the Mississippi fast enough. Anything, those things get deadheaded. Most of the corn in this country is going to China, so it just makes more sense. If we miss this, we'll miss it. It's going to end up somewhere in the Mid-Atlantic. I think, 40% of the containers are going to be within the I-95 corridor. The American Farm Bureau is for it because of the containers and the grain. This is beyond just this little area of Delaware. And we're just lucky enough to have the river and the channel and the bridge to get under to be able to do it.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, I don't want to appear to be a hypocrite, because I will be not voting on either one of these, as is my process, but I do want to... The light bulb right there, but...
He's recording you.
Oh. I thought we voted against that. I thought we voted against recording the meetings. But perhaps when the public speaks, they can clear up for me, because the meeting I went to in this inception, when the person that did the study and the analysis did a presentation, it was my understanding that this was all going to be privately funded, and the funding was there, and the people were basically chomping at the bit on Wall Street. So now I'm hearing state money, federal money, looking for money here, that the person that owns the land's looking for money. All that's new to me. I hadn't heard any of that. So I'm just hoping from those that will be presenting, maybe clear that up, at least for me, have an idea of exactly where is the funding for this project. So I just put that out there, because I don't want to interrupt when someone starts speaking. Thank you,
Mr. Smiley. Mr. Weiner, I see your hand.
Yes, just briefly, I just hope that we can continue to set the bar high with complying with the Coastal Zone Protection Act.
Mr. Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. President. I, too, concur with some of the statements that have been said, but obviously, you know, there's many pieces to every puzzle, and ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, we sit in here on Tuesdays, and all we talk about is, for the most part, housing developments, we approve them, we talk about them. We very rarely get the opportunity to talk about jobs, you know, in manufacturing and the type of things that, you know, people can actually make a living at to buy the homes that we're approving all the time. So although I know the comments of the councilwoman, you know, obviously are a concern to her, I think possibly, you know, this could lend itself to, you know, being an even bigger expansion and present more opportunities. And anytime you bring something in here and ask me if I'll support it, if it entails jobs, I absolutely will. I mean, the other day I was reading on Facebook yesterday that General Electric has announced that they're going to be leaving Connecticut. The first thing I did was started sending emails saying, you know, I'm sure you all have seen this, but here's an opportunity. Let's reach out to them and at least talk to them, you know. So when you bring me something with jobs, I'm going to support it, or a possibility of you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other comments or questions from the council?
Just
Mr. Street.
Mr. President, I, you know, Councilwoman Kilpatrick made some meritorious points, but I think that's a matter of working with logistics and the ability to negotiate among the major players and something that makes some sense. And, you know, I'm sitting here, I really feel like I'm a product of the court, because when I was in school down at University of Delaware, every time I got broke, I went down and begged for a job, either be on a banana boat, coconut boat, or the meat ship. And every once in a while, it was hard to walk away from that money and go back to school, go to class. So I'm aware of some of the people who didn't want to go to college, I understand. And I've seen people benefit immensely from it. So as a product of it, and being from here, it's all about not only the jobs being made at the court, but the jobs being created as a result of the increase in traffic.
Thank you. Mr. Smiley.
I just want to say, I share Councilman Street's feelings for the port. He went there when he was broke. I was broke for over 27 and a half years. That's why I was here for over 27 and a half years, and it continues today. I should have stayed. So.
Public comment. Before you come, let me just read this statement for the record and for this part of the agenda and for later on. All persons present at this meeting shall obey orders of the presiding officer, which is me. The presiding officer may impose reasonable time and manner restrictions. Any person who addresses the council shall not make personal, slanderous, or profane remarks to any member of this body. Staff or general public. Any person who makes such remarks, who utters loud, threatening, personal, or abusive language, or engages in any other disorderly conduct,
you're going too far,
which disrupts, disturbs, or otherwise impedes the orderly conduct of any council meeting, shall, at the discretion of the chair, be barred from further participation in this audience. Public comment will be limited to 3 minutes.
I think we're ready for a motion to adjourn.
Excuse me, Mr. President.
Yes.
I have a packet of information I want to have prepared for each council member.
Sure.
Can I pass that out, please?
Sure.
There's so much misinformation going around. People need to get some facts.
Bill wants to talk. Bill wants to talk. Bill asked. Who? Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, can I talk?
Please. Please state your name for the wherever you come
from,
there or here.
My name is William Ash Jr. I'm president of Local 1694, the deep sea longshoreman who unloads the vessels at the Port of Wilmington. Good evening, council members, ladies and gentlemen, sergeants. What I want to say to you is this. We came to this county council 5 years ago and asked about dredging and passed a resolution to get dredging done. This council supported us. We got the dredging. I mean, our two senators and our congressmen, this board, and along with the city council, we got the dredging approved and got the federal funding to get the dredging done. Why did we get that done to turn around and say, you don't want to go out on the Delaware? It makes no sense. If we spent, between our congressmen and the federal government, put up $131 million to dredge the river to 45 feet, then what are we saying now? We don't want to go out on the river. We want New Jersey and Pennsylvania to get these jobs because it's real. And let me say one other thing before I go into this package. What happens is this. We have jurisdiction from the Pennsylvania state line back out to the ocean, whether it's on this side of the river or the Jersey side. Fortress just bought Tidewater, which is a DuPont plant. From my understanding, Sweeney, the senator right now, is working in Paulsboro getting that done. Most of the people in this room don't understand. 4 years ago, we was in contract negotiation with Dole and Chiquita. The CEO of Dole, Stuart Javelin, was going to move Dole up to Paulsboro. The only reason he didn't move was because of labor. We couldn't go because it was past the state line as far as the jurisdiction goes. We kept them here. We gave this Dole and Chiquita $7.4 million in cuts to keep them at the Port of Wilmington. They were done. This port was going to lose their two main sources of business. The ILA, the deep sea ILA did that. Now, as far as this project, the International, I went to the International a year ago in this month and asked them for money for us to do an economic impact study for this project. We brought it to the Sheraton down and invited the public to come in and see this presentation. The only thing we are asking the state of Delaware, and I heard it by the dear lady today, that the only thing we are asking for is to get the environmental impact study done. We went to the governor back in November with a letter stating that we need the environmental impact study done. That is so that any investor coming in is not going to spend Fortress, Wall Street, or anybody else is going to spend millions of dollars on something that's not ready. It's just like when you go buy a house. You get it inspected before you buy it. So this is what Fortress and Wall Street is saying. I want to make sure that this land is ready. to go to work.
One minute, Mr. Ash.
We brought the federal DOT in here. They came from Washington, D.C. They looked at this land in February and said, unreal. This is the cleanest site between Canada and Texas. Why aren't you moving forward on this? And because of whatever it is, we can't get past the politics of the state of Delaware to move this forward. And we would not take one job from the existing facility and move to this new facility. Actually, it would enhance it because we can take, and shippers, if you look at the Wall Street Journal, CGM said that they want to come to Delaware, and we had a professor say, oh, that's not the case. We got the facts, and we will prove it and put them up against anybody.
Thank you, Mr. Ash. Thank you. Please state your name, sir, for the record.
My name is Kamoko Harris. I'm the business agent for ILA Local 1883 Clerks and Checkers Union.
Thank you for coming. You have 3 minutes, sir.
I want to dispel a myth. We're not talking about displacing, taking people from this site to that site. We're talking about adding additional work. We want to enhance and expand what we have. You can only expand. You only got 40 acres. We're talking about building a project that's going to last us and create jobs for the next 50 years. Because we want to capture the cargo that's at the sea that's not presently at the present Port of Wilmington. The cargo we want is dry cargo boxes. Port of Wilmington is the number one port in the nation for fresh fruits and vegetables in the country. It's the number one port. We want to keep that and maintain that. You know, but also we also want to secure the future because the future is in shipping of containers that support J.C. Finney, Sears, Costco's, Boscov's, you name it, on and on and on. Look at your shirts, look at your shoes, made somewhere else. That's the cargo that's going to move the country. That's the cargo that we're talking about. 98% of what you have on, what you look at, what you talk to, what you talk on, is coming from somewhere else, shipped in this country through the shipping system. So we want to create a port that's going to take advantage of the shipping that's going to come through the Panama Canal. Because number one, 65% of the shippers on the West Coast said they're looking for East Coast ports because they are truly peed off about the trillions of dollars they lost on the West Coast. So they're looking for the East Coast once the Panama Canal finished and the Suez Canal finished. So we have a major opportunity here to create some jobs. In that package, you can see the ships in there. So look in your packet, please. I got a diagram in there of ships. I'm going to show you how the work's going to come, how it's going to show you the second page underneath the statistic thing, right there with all the colors. The smaller ship there, just pass it to me. The smaller ship there, we get, right now, the largest ship we get at the Port of Wilmington is less than half that size. At 45 feet out on the river, we would get ships, this here ship. This ship would come with 8,500 BTU. The largest ship we get now, like I said, is half the size of this 4,500, is a 2,000 TEU. That ship takes from 30 to 35 hours to finish. Just a small ship, I'm telling you about, the 2,000 TEU. And we will get 8,085 TEU ships at the new site.
45 seconds, sir.
You know, and that's going to create, like I'm saying, you talk about 70 jobs to do this half that size ship on the smaller thing. So you can imagine the amount of manpower you're going to need to increase if you get two or three of those ships a week. You know, so I'm just saying it's a no-brainer. And it's great more jobs not to take and replace jobs. Because the cargo we're going to get at Newport is none of the cargo that we get at the present port that we want to keep and maintain.
Thank you.
So I want to make that clear because there's a lot of misunderstanding about this, what this port's going to do.
Thank both of you gentlemen for your presentation. Mr. Street?
Yes, Mr. President. I would like to ask Mr. Ash for some clarification on specific. Well, I have a couple questions I'd like to ask. One,
yes.
Did you ask the City of Wilmington to sponsor?
Yes.
Resolution.
They sponsored last week.
And can you tell me the result of that was?
I'm sorry, City.
And can you tell me what the final action taken by the city was?
The city took a vote last Thursday night and they voted unanimously. They had 11 council members there and all 11 approved.
So as a city, at least the city council supports.
Yes, and we told them, explained everything that we did here. The city council, we went through the whole packet with them and explained it to them. They supported unanimously. They thought it would create jobs not only for the city but for the state of Delaware. we're just not talking about the city of Wilmington. We're talking about the whole state. If you look at the budget, and they claim that they're having problems with the budget, this would solve half of the problems in the state.
Okay, Ken. And that resolution is in the packet. If you look at it, you'll see it.
Another question. Can you give me some clarification on specific requests that we're making of the state?
What we are asking the state is for $500,000 to do an environmental impact study. It includes the coastal zone and everything. That's all the money we're asking for the state. We're asking them to put up the money. It's just like I said, when you buy a home, you get an inspector to go into it. So we're asking for an environmental tax study to be done. So now when Wall Street and the investors come in, here's a green slate. They don't have to worry about being tied up in court.
So that's a unnecessary, as you see, a prerequisite to get where we need to.
Yes. Once we get that done and that proves that this land is ready to be shovel ready, the investors will be knocking at the door. We have the investors, but no one that I know is going to put out money not knowing that they're going to be tied up in a court battle for years. You just don't do that. Investors don't do that.
Mr. Street.
Mr. Addison, could you just give a variation on the size of the ship, the size we have now, and what we're arguing around if this goes forward?
What I just explained, you know, the ship in the middle would be the ship that we would start getting at 45 feet. But this chart shows you the depth and the shipping, the capacity of the ship that they're able to handle. And I'm saying this is the type of vessel that will hit hard 100 people for 2 or 3 days. And we're talking about having the capacity to maybe have 2 or 3 of these ships landing at armed docks. So you can look at the manpower it's going to create. Not even count about the jobs it's going to take to build it. And I'm just saying that it's a no-brainer. It's just hard to move. It's so much resistance. And also, let me make another point. People are looking at it like it's an either or. Either that or that. We're saying both. And if possible, 3. Claremont, the Port of Wilmington, and Edgewood. Because Baltimore has 7 terminals, people. Why are we acting like little puppies and start acting like big dogs? We want 3 ports if we can get them. Because the shipping capacity, the volume of ships that are going to be coming up the Atlantic coast are going to be thousands looking for a home, and we're in a very strategic place. So if Baltimore can have 7 terminals, Philadelphia can have 5 terminals, then we could at least have 3 if we can get them. Not no, Scott, we got to pick between the Port of Wilmington as it is now and another. No, we want all of them. Because we're going to fill them all with shit, and we're going to put thousands, and I mean thousands of people to work.
Mr. Redder has a question, Mrs. Reed, on this.
Please. You done, Jack?
My final question is, can you give some clarification on not only the jobs that you created at the port, but what additional jobs you see outside the port?
What we're trying to do, and the GM plant is a major component of this, and what we're trying to show people is this. You can put 3 shifts in the GM plant, make it into a distribution center. Everybody's not going to make $100,000, but guess what? If they're making $70,000 at that GM plant, it brings back some of the jobs that was lost there. Most of this cargo that we're going to bring in is either going to be trucked out or either railed out and going to the Midwest. And we're trying to pick up loads with the farmers. And we already worked some of this out with the farmers. That's why it's so hard for us to understand why we're getting all these roadblocks from the state. Because we worked it out with some of the farmers that we can ship grain going back to China. So it was like a two-way street. We're going to create jobs at the GM plant, and we had the rail system set up. Before an ILA member gets a job, there's going to be $400 million spent in this project to build it. And it's not going to cost the state of Delaware but $500,000. And that's what's so hard for us to get through. Why are they blocking this when you're worried about not doing this when Pennsylvania and Jersey is going forward and is going to clean your clock? And they're going to end up, if you're worried about the one Port of Wilmington, there won't be any cargo at the Port of Wilmington. Because guess what? If they get those 2 facilities up, Dolan, Chiquita can guarantee you they're going to leave here. They left New York to come here. They'll definitely leave a lapidated port to go to a new facility. And the only reason we kept them this time is because we gave them cuts and give back and assured them that we would do everything to keep them here. So when you're talking about jobs, we're not talking about ILA jobs. We're talking about jobs for the everyday person that Jay's talking about that might not have a college degree. And I even went further to say we're going to need engineers down there, because if you got 10 cranes, somebody's got to make them. So we're going to need people that has been to college, that has an engineer degree. Because if you're talking about the existing port that the other gentleman talked about, the two cranes that we got now, they're broke down more than they run. Our guys are on overtime at least, I would say at least 30 hours a week, because we have two cranes that can't stay running for 24 hours. What business is going to stay in a facility like that? We've been waiting for two cranes now. It started a process, and it's sad, but I hate to bring it to this council. But we started a process to get two cranes a year and a half ago. And the cranes should have been here, and we won't get them until September or October of 16. And that's sad, but most places get a crane anywhere from 12 to 15 months. We've been working on this same thing for 2 years to get it done.
Thank you, Mr. Ash. We've got another question. Councilmember Redder, Councilmember Hollins.
Thank you. Mr. Ash or Mr. Harris, either one of you can answer. These bigger ships that are coming up, what's the reason why they would rather come here than go up to Fallsboro or Philadelphia area? Because aren't they taxed for the bridges? And how much can Delaware save each of these larger ships?
You can save millions of dollars, because every bridge that a ship going is just like you paying a toll. You have to pay a pilot to be on that ship to make sure you don't run into. Every shipper, when he goes up that river, has to pay a pilot to be on that ship and pay thousands of dollars just to go on each bridge. Now, you're talking about going all the way up. You got at least 2 to 3 bridges you got to go on. This site, there's not one bridge there back to the ocean.
Thank you,
Mr. Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm so sorry that the members of ILA have to expend as much passion and comment here today, because the reality is this is a resolution. It doesn't have the force of law. It simply says that we support a proposal to expand the port of Wilmington. So all the philosophy that's going into it for or against it, to me, it's very simple. We do this all the time. We send resolutions to say we support and so forth. Sometimes we're sending resolutions to encourage people to take certain actions. City Council does the same thing. This merely saying we support a proposal to expand the port of Wilmington, and it's simply that. There's no fiscal impact here for Newcastle County government. The decisions will still be made by the state of Delaware and other agencies. So there's been a lot of discussion here, and I guess it's all academically helpful. But the reality is that this is just a simple statement of support to expand. And if it gets to this level of debate, to me it's just pretty amazing, to say the least. But it's a very simple request. It does not cost us a dime. It does not, I don't believe, to a great extent influence the state any more than any other resolution we send down there that we do all the time. So for me, it's really a no-brainer. I mean, who does not support the expansion of the Port of Wilmington for whatever reason? If this resolution is going to do it, then God bless us all. I mean, let's not kid ourselves what we're doing here. This is a simple resolution. It has no force of law, has no dollars associated with it. It's just a simple, it's a great idea. It would do everything that people said here and move on with it. I just don't see the controversy around this, as simple as this resolution is. I don't see the controversy.
Councilmember,
thank you. I guess I have a question here. So this resolution says that we support expanding the Port of Wilmington. But we're not really talking about just expanding the port where it is. We're talking about a private port someplace else.
This resolution has no detail. The idea is being brought forward, and if we were really, if this was a piece of legislation that was going to enact something, then we'd have all that information there. It's not. It's simply an endorsement. It's very simple. It's simply stated. There's nothing complex about it. We can make it as complex as we would like, but as presented, there's nothing complex about it. It's that expand the Port of Wilmington. That could be the Port of Wilmington, anything within this jurisdiction. It could be the piece of land in Newcastle. It could be the parcel of land that in Target District. The idea is that we need more capacity here, and that's all we're endorsing. The details would definitely be worked out, but in a resolution, rarely are you going to get those kinds of details. You're not spending a dime here. It's just a nod that it's a great idea. We're making it more complex than what it really is, what this is saying. And we could make it that complex, but it's really not that complex.
Mm-hmm. Anything
if you
else?
Go through the process, everybody knows what the result will be. But this does not even begin us through that process. It's just, hey, this is a great idea, State. Help us out.
Anything else from the sponsor?
What did you have?
No, Mr. President. Yep. Any other public comment? Yes, sir.
I got
hold on, Mr. Harris. We have a gentleman here.
Please
state your name and represent.
My name is David Finger. I don't represent a constituent or city of any kind. I just wanted to share something as someone who's born and raised in Wilmington, third generation of Wilmingtonians. Probably die here. Hopefully not soon. And I said, I don't really have a dog in the fight. I was fascinated listening to all of this. But recently when I talked with friends, we came to the conclusion that Delaware's economy is built on the big idea. And for generations, the big idea was DuPont, and that's no longer the big idea. But in the 70s, the big idea was banks. And we passed legislation, we got banks here. And that was our big idea, but even that's not working anymore. So we're looking for the next big idea. Some friends of mine say, let's try to legalize marijuana and be the first state on the East Coast. I don't know how that's going to be, but what I'm hearing is that this is a big idea. And I encourage the council to think in terms of the big idea that the city needs. And there are always details, and devils are in detail. I know that very well. But I support the big idea. And I hope that you will think about that as well.
Thank you, Mr. Finger. Mr. Fingers, or Finger?
Finger Single,
I'm sorry. Thank you for your time. Mr. Harris, did you have one other thing, and then we're going to move on?
I want to thank those council people who are supporting this resolution and have supported us in the past. Because I've been here before. I came here and pleaded and explain and try to get your support for the regimen with what you did, you supported it. And I just wanted to say, as a woman of Iowa, we thank you for your support. Also, we want you to pass this resolution, but we also want you to join us in this battle. Because we believe that if you're serious about creating some blue collar jobs, then we need it, because we've lost Jim Price and God knows how many other places. There's also a piece of document that shows how many manufacturing production jobs we've lost here, that we've lost the middle class, you know, because that blue-collar base of jobs has gone. This, we believe, can do it. We can bring those folks back to work. We can bring that blue-collar base, middle-class jobs back to work.
Thank you, Mr. Ash. Thank you, Mr. Harris. There's no other public comment. I'm sorry. Councilman, apologize. You have something
else? Yeah, I'll just be real quick. I just want to say the jobs will go beyond Wilmington, which will help Wilmington. But I have constituents, including one sitting right there, that live in my district. So it's, and, you know, from Chrysler, just, we do need jobs that pay, you know, the $70,000 a year. And it does help the economy also.
Thank you, Mr. Powers. Moving on to agenda item number 4, R15-107, supporting Delaware Senate Bill number 83, expanded protections for domestic abuse victims. Basically, SB 83, its goal is to reduce abusers' access to guns to save lives. I've asked one of the supporters of the bill, Mr. Polidori, if he would make a comment.
Those
any questions for on agenda item 1507. Would you like to make a statement, please?
Thank you, Mr. President. My name is Jack Polidori. I reside at 2208 Highland Place in Wilmington. I'm a constituent of Mr. Street. It's my first time here. I'm here on behalf of a good friend of mine, former County Council President Dennis Greenhouse, who represents our organization, Delaware Coalition Against Gun Violence. I hope that many of you had the opportunity to see the front page editorial that was in the Wilmington Journal on Sunday, authored by former Republican State Senator Lyanne Sorensen. Also, I've asked if we could have distributed, there was a lead editorial today in the Wilmington News Journal, which I think, you know, very accurately and succinctly captures what's in the bill. This bill will be heard tomorrow in the Senate Judiciary Committee. I think it's noteworthy to just observe who the sponsors of the bill are.
Yes.
Senator Margaret Rose Henry and Majority Leader of the House, Val Longhurst. Also, it has Republican State Senator Kathy Cloutier, Senators Karen Peterson, Brian Townsend, Representative Mike Barbieri, who's a licensed clinical social worker, Representative Paul Bombach, 70 Bolden, Ms. Heffernan, Mr. Jakes, Ms. Keeley from the city, Mr. Kowalko, Mr. Lynn, Mr. Potter, and Brian Short. There's also, I believe, thank you for handing those out, there's a summary of the bill. It basically does, it's not radically new law. It extends current rights people have who are married and in violent situations, divorced or separated. And I think the words of the editorial today in the paper really captures it by saying that these are for folks who have already been found having committed a misdemeanor crime with domestic violence. And this bill more readily reflects the realities of modern life, which extends these protections to people who have been who have cohabitated or who have been in dating relationships, and also codifies, as the newspaper pointed out, a process for the relinquishment of arms where a PFA is ordered, where a judge who has discretion orders the relinquishment of weapons. So this bill will be heard tomorrow, again, from the Senate Judiciary Committee, and we're hoping for action at least by the Senate from this first year of the two-year session of General Assembly.
Now, Jack, could you tell this body the involvement of the former Congresswoman from Arizona, Gabby Gifford?
Happy to do so.
Expand on that.
We work in conjunction with an organization called Americans for Responsible Solutions, which is founded and chaired by former Congresswoman Gabby Gifford from Tucson, who, as many of you know, suffered a very near fatal injury, and her husband, Captain Mark Kelly, astronaut, both of whom are governors, by the way. And we try to, this is a priority for them, trying to enact legislation comparable to this in a number of states around the country. 19 states presently have it. That's in our fact packet. And I'd also like to just, two things I forgot to mention. The Wilmington City Council did pass a resolution in support of this as well. And Mr. Greenhouse will be carrying a letter to Chairwoman Henry tomorrow from the mayor of the city of Wilmington. And we worked closely in conjunction with the office of our new Attorney General, Matt Dem, on this bill. And I believe they'll be offering support for the legislation tomorrow in front of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Pomeroy. Comments, questions, or comments? Seeing none, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Agenda item number 5, ordinance 15057 to amend the rates of pay for unclassified employees, County Council, and to revise the FY16 approved operating budget to appropriate $12,500 to County Council for salaries and wages. We've been informed by Mr. Smiley this will be tabled. Correct, Mr. Smiley?
That will be the motion.
Great. Other. Mr. White.
Thank you, Mr. President, and appreciate the opportunity to just preface my remarks by reinforcing what you had stated is in that a decorum is very important, and also the comments I'm going to make don't require a response, but the comments I would like to make, I'm making for the record, and it's important that I think that I do that. There was a motion which was on the schedule today. It was a motion that I had presented on April 28th, and for reasons which were stated in a memo which we received today, the motion was removed from the calendar. The April 28th motion did not fail, did not pass. It was tied 6-6, and one of our council members were absent. So that was at an executive committee meeting on April 28th. The next executive committee meeting was May 12th. I was awaiting, we were all awaiting the Attorney General's opinion, which I had predicted would be that the Attorney General doesn't opine, which is exactly what we learned. The Attorney General does not opine and give opinions to local government, nor acts as an advisory capacity to local government. So I, at the behest of the Council President, the motion was withdrawn from the May 12th Executive Committee meeting. There was nothing else on the agenda, so the meeting was canceled. And it was next scheduled to be on the May 27th agenda, at which time the Council President asked through his aide that we defer because the agenda was filled, and suggested that I put it on for June 9, which is today, which I did. It was put on the agenda after mix-up where it was left off, was put back on, and then we received a memo today asking that that it be taken off the agenda, and so it was. I'd just like to make a few remarks about that on the record. Mm-hmm. And my concerns are singularly for this body, motivated by my concern that this body be protected. They're based upon my legal background. They are not in any way intended to harm any person or advance any political agenda. Referencing the motion that I made on April 28th, without reading the whereas as before, I just want to read the now therefores and then make a few comments. The now therefore was, accordingly, Newcastle County Council hereby supports a motion to retain outside legal counsel to review all relevant legal documents, including but not limited to the Wasserbach emails furnished by Newcastle County Law Department to the members of council. The legal review shall in part advise Newcastle County Council if the Department of Newcastle County properly responded to the FOIA request in denying the request for documents, how the department should have replied, if a denial was inappropriate, and at this juncture, how should the Department of Newcastle County Council now proceed in this and other similar matters. Newcastle County Council shall seek a legal opinion from a regional law school with expertise on all relevant areas of applicable law and ethical precepts. The Office of County Council President is hereby authorized and directed by County Council to contact a regional law school to obtain this opinion, and Newcastle County authorizes the sum of $20,000 for this research and legal opinion. So, Council has received conflicting legal advice on how we should proceed, and so it was in the interests of this body that we should seek independent legal counsel. I reserve my legislative prerogative to bring this motion before council in the future. In my opinion, failure to state a public purpose is not an applicable exception to FOIA. Also, as the AG has opined, motive behind FOIA request is not a relevant basis to deny a FOIA request. As I previously stated, the AG's office will not provide us guidance. As I previously stated, the Ethics Commission does not, within its mission or mandate, respond to the questions which I had enumerated. It's a very narrow perspective. There's only one body which ultimately is legally accountable. That body is Newcastle County Council. Council is unnecessarily, in my opinion, exposing itself to potential legal accountability because we haven't sought outside legal counsel as to whether we should act or not act. And our seeking legal opinion is not taking sides. It's simply trying to advise us as a body as to how we should proceed. And I fail to see how a whistleblower protection application by our auditor, whom I respect, trumps counsel's duty to seek legal advice.
Thank you, Mr. Weiner.
I'm not quite done yet, but I'm reaching that end.
Okay.
We have council members who may have seen this application. I just want to go on record that I have not seen it. Maybe other council members have not. I would hope that since this motion was removed from the agenda because of a memo which stated that there are certain rules in our rule book that dictate that it has to be removed, I'd like to have the rule book and understand which rules are being relied upon. I did read the memo, which highlighted it, but I think we need to see the whole context of the entire rule book. And lastly, I think that we're going to have to look at whether or not council members also want the legal attorney that we look at to also add to the questions, does the Whistleblower Act trump county council seeking outside legal advice for guidance?
Thank you for that statement for the record. There'll be no discussion on the statement, simply for the record.
Thank you.
And the clerk will be able to give you the specific passage in the code relative to your question. Thank you, Mr. Wyman.
And I hope it'll be provided to all council members.
Yes,
yes. Will we be receiving this whistleblower application as a body, council members?
No comment. We can't comment on that.
We can't comment on that. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Wyman, for your statement.
Thank you.
And you're working with me on this, on the agenda. Lastly, before we adjourn public comment, do we have any public comment? I will restate. Please restate what I stated earlier. Any person who addresses the council shall not make personal, slanderous, or profane remarks to any member of council, staff, or general public. Any person who makes such remarks, utters loud, threatening, personal, abusive language, engages in any other disorderly conduct which disrupts, disturbs, or otherwise impedes the orderly conduct of this meeting, at the discretion of the presiding officer, will be barred from further participation. Please state your name. You have 3 minutes.
Hi, I'm Kevin Usselton. I'm executive director of the First State Animal Center and SPCA, and also Delaware Animal Care and Control. Good afternoon, Mr. President, members of the council. This kind of comes at an opportune time for me to come to you today. I submitted a FOIA request asking for Mr. Wasserbach's email from the council. It has not been fulfilled as of yet, and so I'm coming before you to ask why it has not been fulfilled. I filed a complaint with the Attorney General's office because my FOIA request was not fulfilled. The council had until June the 3rd to respond to that. They have not done so as of yet. So it kind of is opportune that I just have a chance to kind of explain. I'm also a resident of New Castle County, and as I stated before, the executive director of the nonprofit agency, which has been providing animal control services for New Castle County since 2007. The definition, as I understand it, for open government is working to ensure the public trust and to establish a system of transparency, public participation, and collaboration. Why is it that New Castle County is not providing this type of government for us as a nonprofit? Why is it that New Castle County is allowing its employees to hide behind public identity? When will the employees be held accountable for their efforts to harm First State Animal Center and SPCA? Thank you.
Thank you for your statement. Yes.
May I speak?
Please speak. State
you.
Your name.
Thank you very much. My name is Amy Rowe. I'm from Newark.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am. Please.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. This is my very first time here. I have some familiarity with the Freedom of Information Act, and I would like to remind council that maintaining the integrity of the public trust is the most important responsibility of this body. And I've read the auditor's emails that were in the News Journal. That shouldn't be a surprise. I think I've emailed all of you about that. And that's on shaky ground now. Public trust is on shaky ground. I don't understand the delays on getting legal advice, but I believe it's very important to prove to the public that you're acting in our best interest. And a property owner, pay property taxes, and I'm very concerned about the wise use of the resources that we give the county, and I'd like to see that this issue on the Freedom of Information Act request, which is supported by state and federal law, is also the law of the land in New Castle County. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy. Please state your name for the record, please, 3 minutes.
Again, David Finger. This time I'm speaking in my capacity as a professional troublemaker. People who know me know I have a particular interest in government transparency, and as a lawyer, I've litigated access cases and freedom of information cases. A couple things I just want to give out as food for thought. You know, Freedom of Information Act was adopted in the wake of Watergate across the country, and it creates a presumption of openness, and it provides a number of exemptions. But those exemptions are not mandatory. They are discretionary. Therefore, even the fact that you can withhold things doesn't mean that you have to withhold things. And the reason I mention it to everybody is that I think everybody is politically savvy enough to know that very often when problems come with government officials, it's not because of something they did, it's because of the cover-up. And I encourage this body to be as forthcoming as can be, not just within the letter of the law, but within the spirit of the law, to know that just because something can be withheld, and I'm not saying that can or cannot, I'm not making that judgment here, it doesn't mean that you should. The other thing I want to bring to your all's attention is that the Freedom of Information Act is not the end of the issue, because cases have held that prior to the Freedom of Information Act, there was a common law right of access to government records, which was not superseded. It's been supplemented by FOIA. And even if there's some restriction in FOIA, it doesn't mean that that's going to be the end of the argument. There may be rights beyond FOIA. I think a lot of the fights I see are unnecessary. I don't want to cast a person on anybody here, and I'm not doing that, but sometimes people make snap decisions because it's easier to say there's an exemption, let's just use it, rather than think about whether this is really exercised in the interest of the government as representatives of the people. So I hope that however this thing shakes out, the question you're going to hear from people is, okay, maybe you can keep it confidential, or maybe you can't. But from what I've read in the paper, the question is, why would you? How does that help anything? Thank you.
Councilmember Tech.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a few brief comments from me as councilman of the 11th District, and obviously not representing anything else. But one thing I've done from my 11 years on this body is prided myself on being an open and accessible government. I did see the email that we received about when the FOIA requests come in. I'm embarrassed and I'm upset that it's taken this long to try to get that back to them. I believe in upholding the law. I think it needs to be done. I believe the process needs to be filed, but withholding it this long just creates a suspicion there that doesn't need to be cast upon this body. And I'll leave it at that, but I'll just say I'm very upset that it's taken this long.
Thank you.
Just a question. Did we not receive an email a while back that saying that a portion of the FOIA was already given to you and that more would be forthcoming?
Excuse me, there was a meeting set up for Monday.
Please, name for the record.
Sorry, Kevin Ussel, Executive Director, First Day Animal Center. I did receive an email and scheduled a meeting on the 1st of June, which was canceled an hour prior to, saying that the disk was corrupt, and so they were not able to allow me to view those emails at that point, and that they were going to get back to me, and to date I haven't heard anything else since then. So it was an attempt. It did not get followed through on the part of the Betsy Bart.
But did we not give something over? Am I not remembering that correctly in an email that we gave something over that was redacted?
No.
No? Okay.
Let me ask, I'm sorry, Ms. Dammer, could you make a quick statement on
Attorney for County Council. Mr. Russellton, I apologize that it's taken so long. It has taken too long. We've had a number of problems, but there are a number of things that ought to be pointed out. First off, you asked for this information 2 years ago. It was compiled. It was ready for you. You never came to get it. And we have the documentation. You've completely denied that to the AG's office, which we have the documentation where you were instructed how you do it. So, you know,
why 2 years later you're coming back again. It's like kind of hard to understand. Second off, we have responded to the AG's office, to the letter that we received from that, and you were copied on that response. The technical problem is that you're correct, we scheduled a meeting for last Monday where we expected at that point to be able to turn over everything to you. Unfortunately, and here things get a little bit technical, the emails are rather voluminous. They're in a PST file, which is Outlook backup files. And in trying to review them, because of the size of the files, it kept repeatedly causing Outlook to crash. Ultimately, what happened is that the disks themselves were corrupted and couldn't recover it. PST files also have an interesting feature in that while they appear to let you delete emails from the list of emails, attorney-client privileged ones in particular, it's actually one large file, you can't delete it. It's all still there. When I discovered that, then I had to obtain another program to run the PST files, which enables me to go through and sort through them much more efficiently, to pull out those things which are privileged. There is a very small number of documents which are attorney-client privilege and attorney work product privilege. There is, however, a large volume of information, because this includes Mr. Wasserbach's private emails, it includes a large volume of information dealing with faithful friends, and includes payroll information for faithful friends, all of which is clearly not subject to disclosure and would constitute an invasion of privacy of various people. So I'm trying to get rid of those. I've spent the entire day today going through, and I'm working on the last file, which contains 5,080 separate emails with all of their attachments at this point. So as quickly as I can get Mr. Russell's files, I will get them to him.
Thank you, Mr. Danberg. All righty. Thanks.
Mr. President, I just had one quick question. Is this an indefinite time period? I mean, does the requester have a right to know this is going to take so long, or do we just keep issuing apologies? I would like to tell our public something.
Mr. Denver.
I expect to be finished on Thursday, if I'm not finished tonight. That's just an anticipation on my part.
There's nothing else on the public comment?
And I should point out, that's only because
Mr.
I don't
vote tomorrow. Thank you. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in
so
favor?
Moved.
So
second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.